The six surviving heads of the eight orders sat at the long, shiny and new table in what had been Golda Weatherwax's study, and each one wondered precisely what it was about Trumon that made them want to kick him. It wasn't that he was ambitious and cruel. Cruel men were stupid, they all knew how to use cruel men, and they certainly knew how to bend other men's ambitions. You didn't stay in eighth-level magus for long, unless you were adept at a kind of mental judo. It wasn't that he was bloodthirsty, power-hungry, or especially wicked. These things were not necessarily drawbacks in a wizard. The wizards were, on the whole, no more wicked than, say, the committee of the average Rotary Club, and each had risen to preeminence in his chosen profession not so much by skill at magic, but by never neglecting to capitalize on the weakness of opponents. It wasn't that he was particularly wise. Every wizard considered himself a fairly hot property, wise-wise. It went with the job. It wasn't even that he had charisma. They all knew charisma when they encountered it, and Trumon had all the charisma of a duck egg. That was it, in fact. He wasn't good or evil or cruel or extreme in any way but one, which was that he had elevated greyness to the status of a fine art and cultivated a mind that was as bleak and pitiless and logical as the slopes of hell. And what was so strange was that each of the wizards, who had in the course of their work encountered many a fire-spitting, bat-winged, tiger-taloned entity in the privacy of a magical octagram, had never before had quite the same uncomfortable feeling as they had when 10 minutes later Trumon strode into the room.
"Sorry I'm late, gentlemen," he lied, rubbing his hands briskly. "So many things to do, so much to organise, I'm sure you know how it is."
The wizards looked sidelong at one another as Trumon sat down at the head of the table and shuffled busily through some papers.
"What happened to old Golda's chair, the one with the lion arms and the chicken feet?"
said Jiglad Wirt. It had gone, along with most of the other familiar furniture, and in its place were a number of low leather chairs that appeared to be incredibly comfortable until you'd sat in them for 5 minutes.
"That, oh, I had it burnt,"
said Trumon, not looking up.
"Burnt? But it was a priceless magical artifact, a genuine—"
"Just a piece of junk, I'm afraid," said Trumon, treating him to a fleeting smile. "I'm sure real wizards don't really need that sort of thing. Now, if I may draw your attention to the business of the day."
"What's this paper?" said Jiglad Wirt of the Hoodwinkers,
waving the document that had been left in front of him, and waving it all the more forcefully because his own chair, back in its cluttered and comfortable tower, was, if anything, more ornate than Golda's had been.
"It's an agenda, Jiglad," said Trumon patiently.
"And what does agenda do?"
"It's just a list of the things we've got to discuss. It's very simple. I'm sorry if you feel that..."
"We've never needed one before."
"I think perhaps you have needed one, you just haven't used one," said Trumon, his voice resonant with reasonableness.
Wirt hesitated.
"Well, all right," he said sullenly, looking around the table for support. "But what's this here where it says," he peered closely at the writing, "successor to Greyhound Spold? It's going to be old Runelet Vard, isn't it? He's been waiting for years."
"Yes, but is he sound?"
said Trumon.
"What?"
"I'm sure we all realise the importance of proper leadership," said Trumon. "Now, Vard, he's worthy, of course, in his way, but..."
"It's not our business,"
said one of the other wizards.
"No, but it could be," said Trumon.
There was silence.
"Interfere with the affairs of another order?" said Wirt.
"Of course not," said Trumon. "I merely suggest that we could offer advice. But let us discuss this later."
The wizards had never heard of the words power base. Otherwise, Trumon would never have been able to get away with all this. But the plain fact was that helping others to achieve power, even to strengthen your own hand, was quite alien to them. As far as they were concerned, every wizard stood alone. Never mind about hostile, paranormal entities,